Hello, and welcome back to Let's Talk About Conflict, a podcast where we talk about ways to get through conflict, maybe avoid making more conflict, and even better, working on ourselves so that conflict is something we can manage inside and outside. I'm your host, Lynn Nash, an attorney mediator based in Dallas, Texas. Today, we're going to talk about a few common biases that may be keeping some of you from working through conflict. And so I don't want you to hear the word bias and think, what is that? Why are you saying I have a bias? And everybody, just so you hear it now, everyone has a bias. We all struggle with these. And I have picked three of the fairly common ones that most of us kind of find our way into and have to work our way out of. And I include myself on this list, okay? So the way you work on something is to recognize it. So what is a bias? Well, we're going to go back to my very favorite website, wordhippo.com. Yes, I'm still not getting any money from them, but they're still amazing. And WordHippo defines a bias as an inclination, great word, towards something, an inclination towards something. In other words, you like it better than something else, or you just maybe lean towards something over another. And maybe they also say a predisposition, a partiality, a prejudice. Now, see, we went through a lot before we got to the word prejudice. So I don't really think a bias is about being totally, I think people associate the word bias in the great community with prejudice, but I don't think that's how we're, certainly not how we're going to use that word, okay? A preference, a predilection, an inclination towards something. That's Word Hippo's help for the day. Thank you, Word Hippo. So with these bias in our lives, we have either through experience or through habit or from our upbringing, we have a sense of what makes sense to us. And a lot of those are just common biases that are in your head. So don't get caught up in the word bias, other than to understand from a social science standpoint, it's just a term we use to help in some of these theories of kind of how are people acting the way they're acting, right? So one of my favorite things to talk about is the overconfidence bias. And that is a very common bias that people kind of flow in and out of. Sometimes it's called an optimistic overconfidence. And in essence, overconfidence bias is when a person sees the world in ways that allows their personal rationalizations to be seen as factual. Okay, that's a lot of words. Let me break that down a little bit. So if I am in a mode where I am having a lot of optimistic overconfidence, then I believe, gosh, I know the answer to this and I don't need to do any research about it because I am right and I am going to find my way through this because I know I'm right. And I'm only going to look for things that are going to feed me having the sensation of I'm right. I have the answer. I'm the good versus the bad or whatever it is, overconfident optimistically. And so when you're thinking about an overconfidence bias through the lens of conflict avoiding, which I think is where you see this more often, the optimistically overconfident individual is likely to believe their own thought loop. Right. So I've talked about thought loops before, but thought loops are where you have a thought and then you seek out validation, you find validation and you keep looping so that you just keep feeding the same loop until you have built a belief in your mind and nobody's going to change your mind about it. You stop taking in information that doesn't feed your loop. So when you're talking about avoiding conflict, then the optimistic, overconfident individual is likely to be in their thought loop that this situation is only ever going to go one way. That person, it will always be the fill in the blank, and I will always be the fill in the blank, and there's nothing I can do to make it better. There's nothing I can do to change this. I already know what the outcome will be. Loop. I already know what the outcome will be, and nothing I do or nothing they do or say is going to change my opinion or how this whole situation is going to work. So we talk about overconfidence and this optimistic overconfidence, but that's a negative overconfidence. You still are being overconfident in the fact that you think you know exactly how everything's going to go. that overconfidence bias of, I already know this is going to work. So the real key to kind of trying to break this up in your own mind, if you hear this on repeat in your own mind, or you catch yourself in that, is to recognize overconfidence bias causes people to fail to hear and recognize when other information and perspectives are available. Okay. So back to that thought loop of, I already know how this is going to go, and they're always this, and I'm always that, and there's nothing that's going to change this. Well, there might be things that could change that. But if you fail to ask questions, if you fail to pick up new information, if you fail to hear the other party, or maybe they don't feel that way or think that way, or something's changed for them, then you're lacking the ability to get out of this bias. Okay. So if you already think you know the outcome, you're going to refuse to see and hear and learn. That's the problem with overconfidence. I already know how it's going to go, and I don't need any more information. Well, I got to tell you, we always need more information. So when you're looking at the fear of going into a conflict resolution scenario where you've had a conflict and you want to resolve the conflict, but you go into this thought loop of and this overconfidence that you already know how the whole thing's going to go, you're not going to wade in. And I'm going to encourage you to say, let's take a breath. Am I in a thought loop? Am I only hearing my own overconfidence about this whole thing? Is there something I'm missing? And should I open myself up and listen again, or see again if there's something else that's changed? That's how I want you to understand overconfidence bias when it comes to conflict resolution. That was one, overconfidence bias. Number two, we're going to talk about false consensus bias. Okay. So in a false consensus bias, individuals believe that their opinions, their beliefs, their attributes, whatever it is about you as an individual, is just way more common, and it's the norm in everybody else as well. So I think that asparagus is delicious, and I enjoy it steamed or broiled or however. I enjoy it in most things, probably not out of a can, if I'm being honest. But I enjoy asparagus. And so that means if I'm in a false consensus bias, I think you do too. You like asparagus, and you want to have asparagus just like I do. Well, that's an unrealistic thing to say, because not everybody likes asparagus. We all know that. Not everybody likes it. There are things people like that I don't like. But if I'm in my own false consensus about it, then everything is, that's just how it is. It's just the norm. Everybody feels this way. And when you hear people in conversation say, but everybody believes, or everybody thinks, they probably are doing a really great job of keeping themselves in a false consensus. And so it helps people justify how they feel, and it can help them believe their own choices for behavior are 100% appropriate and normal and rational to any situation, because that's how they feel. And so that's how you feel. And so you understand, because they're projecting how they feel and their own norms onto you. And so you're not going to say something different, because you're just like them. Well, I don't know what just like me actually looks like. And yet I don't want to act like I don't fall into this periodically, because we all do. It's a very normal bias to find yourself wandering into. Take, for example, I am an attorney. So a lot of times people will make overall generalized statements about attorneys, or among attorneys, they'll say, well, you know how it is, da 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 da. And I may or may not have had the same experience, and I may or may not have had the same reaction to the same experience. But the assumption is, because we are in the same profession, well, you have the same opinion and belief that I do. I'm going to give you the same attribute, because this is normative behavior in our profession. Maybe, maybe not. And so the real struggle a lot of times with false consensus bias is that there can be this causal attribution. And this causal attribution happens and influences an individual's assumption that everything they think is really common, and everything they believe is what everybody else believes as well. So a belief or an idea or something that they have normalized within themselves. And so they are looking to see this as the norm in their community and in the things that they want to reaffirm this behavior, this projection of who they are or who I am or what I believe. And so I don't want to go down this too far, but as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about right now, you can really see this in how people are kind of picking sides in political disputes. And I'm not picking a side to say this. I think this is on both sides of the aisle. In politics right now, I am a good person and I believe Party X. Therefore, if someone does not believe in Party X, then they cannot be a good person. Let me say that again. I am a good person and I believe X, Party X. Therefore, if somebody else out there does not believe Party X, then they're not a good person like me. I am pushing my agenda. This is only good people. This is how it has to be. This is my norm. Well, if I do that in all the things I do, then I'm going to have my opinions reaffirmed through the people I associate with because they are only going to reflect back to me what I am projecting to them. And I'm only going to associate with people that are going to affirm that opinion, whether it's correct or incorrect, or I understand or don't understand. And it also leads to a lack of information and learning and growth to know if my opinion is really founded or not, because I'm just feeding my thought loop. So I don't want to go any further than that. I just kind of was thinking about the political lines and how this false consensus of, well, I'm going to normalize everything that's going on in my head because that helps reaffirm myself. And unfortunately, it keeps us from hearing something else. And the root of a lot of conflict right now, think about it in those terms, is it seems to be conflict for conflict's sake. I'm going to say that again because I really am kind of bothered by the idea of having conflict for conflict's sake. So if we as individuals can take a step back and open ourselves up to some ambiguity is just a big fancy word for unknowns, and we have to accept that we don't potentially know everything about a situation or a person or why was it this decision made at work? Or why was that person promoted over someone else? Or why am I the only one who ever gets the lemon frosting cupcake? Everybody else gets chocolate. It's just, you know, if we can just say, hey, I don't know the answer. And if we do that, then we're going to remain open to receiving more information and potentially new information and to being able to reassess and adjust. But if we're in a false consensus bias, it's very hard to make adjustment because we already know we're already right and we're already pushing that perspective back out into the world to have it confirmed. And so to assist with a false consensus bias, and listen, we all do it. These are all very human things. But if you want to assist, if you find yourself or you learn to hear that about yourself a little bit, if you want to assist to find out if you're having a false consensus bias about something, it's really helpful to ask open-ended questions. Okay. So if you are feeling like maybe I'm just in this loop and I'm not sure, then stop and ask who, what, where, when, why, or how questions. All of these are open-ended questions. They're there to help you find more information. Okay. If you find yourself feeling like you're kind of in a loop and you're hearing yourself pushing your agenda, pushing your thought, if you find in those moments you're only asking questions that have a yes or a no answer, you may very well be looping in a false consensus and only looking to affirm your belief rather than really finding out what's going on with the other person. So again, these are normal things. These are common things. We all float in and out of them. Some people stay in them. Some people have them and kind of go, whoa, I don't like that. But the goal of this podcast is to give you some skills so you can recognize some things, to think about ways that we're all working on ourselves, right? So false consensus bias, ask open-ended questions and see if that shifts your thinking. The goal is to help you see things a little bit differently. And maybe you're right. And maybe you're not having a false consensus. But the only way to really know you're not is to seek more information to confirm. And don't just seek it from one source that feeds you back everything you want to hear, right? Okay. So the third bias we're going to talk about today is called fixed pie bias. And so a fixed pie is a really common thing in most, I shouldn't say that. It's a really common thing for many, many people who feel like it's everything is a win or a lose situation. Okay. So in a fixed pie bias, if you're in a competitive situation, which our lives are a little more competitive, I think, sometimes than we recognize. You believe that you have to purely be able to win. And the only way you can win is if somebody else loses. I need to be the winner because you are the loser. I am the loser because I recognize that they were the winner. It is a fixed mentality, say it that way. We call it a fixed pie because the concept is, you know, what a pie plate looks like, and you can only get so many pieces out of this pie. You can't get it any bigger. There's only so much to go around. And so, did I get more than half? Did I get less than half? Am I the winner or the loser? That's where this whole pie stuff comes from. Anyway, when you're thinking about that win-lose mindset in a conflict resolution situation, you want the resolution to be possible. It's really important to try and think of ways that don't involve winning or losing. So what do you mean, Lynn? Okay, here's what I mean. If you are trying to resolve something and you may not actually be able to take home the win, right? The big win, a sliver more of that pie. Then maybe it's important to believe that being vulnerable in that situation and open was the win for you. Where learning a really hard truth about yourself or a situation is actually a win, okay? It's that concept behind Edison talking about all the over 1,000 times that he tried to invent the light bulb and then finally did. None of those were failures. They were all just on their way to the ultimate success. But if you give up too quickly or you don't learn from each one of the steps, then it's hard to know how you're ever going to see the whole picture. In mediation, we talk a lot of times about making the pie bigger. You don't just want that 8-inch pie pan. You really want to be able to stretch it and make more pie available so that there's more to go around. And the way to do that is in your own mind and in assessing the situation. So, speaking of truth, this is going to be really, really, really open with you here. So my husband Steve and I have a rule in our marriage that it's not mean if it's true. And I would not advise everyone to put this in their marriage, but this works for us because of who we are and how we function. And so we absolutely have the rule that it's not mean if it's true, meaning I love you more than anyone else. And if I feel the need to say this something to you along some line that doesn't feel very good to you, I am not trying to be hateful to you. I am not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to put anything on the table other than there is a truth you're avoiding, and I love you enough to keep putting it back under your nose. Case in point, I have been avoiding the gym. I have been really bad about going to the gym. And he mentions this to me a lot. Now, he also thinks that paying for a gym that you don't use is ridiculous, but we won't go down that road. He mentions to me that I have been avoiding the gym and follows up with, you know, you'd feel better if you went to the gym. You know, you would sleep better if you went to the gym regularly. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. It's the truth. And I know it's the truth. It's not the most welcome truth in my life, but it's the truth nonetheless. And so I can either take this concept and say he's picking on me or he's not loving me because he's saying this to me, but that's not an actual honest response. I'm honestly irritated at myself that I'm not following through with the things that will make me feel better and probably help me sleep better. So taking it out on him for caring enough to try and help me is not going to resolve the actual conflict that's in me. My own conflict is not going to the gym and not taking care of myself. Starting a new conflict with Steve when he's trying to help me, I mean, that's just petty. That's not going to accomplish anything. Instead, I think, frankly, we'd both win if I were sleeping more. And so this fixed pie mentality would be to say, he's winning and I'm losing, or I'm losing because it's not about that. I'm not going to stay in this tit for tat, win-lose mentality when someone's actually trying to help me. Who knows trying to help me? Not always the most welcome thing when someone points out things you are avoiding, but he's truly trying to help me. Now, I don't know how that works in your own relationships, but it has certainly helped mine to know that when you put it on the table like that, your partner is not going to pop off at you and say, who are you to yada yada? No, we say, okay, I heard you. And thank you. That took time. That didn't just happen. But that's my own internal conflict happening and him recognizing it and trying to help me. And so picking a fight with him and causing a conflict there it's not gonna solve anything. The conflict I have to solve is over here inside of me. And until I do that, he's really just trying to help me out. So fixed pie bias is difficult sometimes in high conflict situations, highly competitive situations, because we're kind of trained and ingrained into that. However, if you can learn how to accept, understand, grow, learn, and work on making your pie bigger, I promise you, life will get just a little bit easier. And maybe, maybe I'd get a little more sleep. Maybe. I don't know. So that is all I have for you today. I appreciate you listening to this podcast. You can visit our website at letstalkaboutconflict.com. We're also on Instagram. Send us an email. I have been quite busy this spring teaching and doing CLE work and writing. And I am reminded again and again and again how much I really do value knowing the skills and how to make conflict a little less difficult when I have to go through it. So with that, we'll see you down the road.